Congress did refer to the adoption, as has the head of delegation, to the adoption of the women's shelters and the law thereon. I would like to know whether there is, whether a budgetary allocation set forth there, because the shelters, I imagine they're large, however, the resources are often scant. So how have you articulated the financial component of this to ensure that the law is effective? Now, the Conference of Law Against Violence Against Women, Mr. Rodolfo Madrid has also mentioned that, as has the head of delegation. We do know that there are consultations underway and rulings underway. However, as we created the list of issues, when we addressed the list of issues, or when we created that the law was still pending, we're wondering about the excessive time period that's been allowed to that. When do you plan or envisage that those rulings will have been handed down and thus allowing the Congress to address it? There's also mention of the many activities that are being undertaken within the judiciary, referring specifically to judge training on the matter of violence against women and rulings and sentencing with gender perspective. There are regional workshops, etc. There has also been broken down data that can be provided in written form in the 48 hours following the conclusion of this constructive dialogue. That might be the most useful and practical manner to pass along the data to the committee. Just one thing, advice as a judge and a committee member, activities have been undertaken. However, I shouldn't fail to insist on the importance of this point. The biases that the judges have, that we judges have, many of us are men, but women also have biases. And this is because we're all educated in a specific way, but this does require that we overcome our biases and our value judgments. We need to overcome these on an ongoing basis. When I'm looking at a sexual attack or event, I have to ask, what was the woman doing alone? I ask myself, what is this woman doing alone at 4 a.m? If it were a man, I wouldn't be asking the same question. So it's a bias I have, and I need to overcome that. These are sometimes imperceptible, and this can distort the evidence or the ruling, and it can lead to a ruling that is not in step with the letter and law, the spirit and letter of the law. And so does the training address the issue of overcoming biases? And that would be helpful if it does. However, I've not seen information on the existence or lack of existence of a protocol that addresses these types of crimes, because often there is a lack of coordination between the prosecutors and the police and the judges and healthcare officials as well. There's sometimes a gap there, and that's a very important component. Is there a protocol that links together all the stakeholders, or are you looking at the possibility of establishing such a protocol down the road? Mr. Gerardo Molina from the Prosecutor General's Office of the State has referred to the Biket Hernandez project. I commend you for having launched that initiative. However, I would like to know if you can provide information on the electronic provisions that are used or that could be used in the fight against violence against women, because the head of delegation has referred to this in a very specifically in her opening remarks. So perhaps you can let us know whether these exist, how many exist, how they're being used, have there been results, clear results and outcomes. Mr. Don Eduardo Aleman from the Secretary of Defense and also Mr. Suaso from Security have described to us a great deal on the armed forces and the law enforcement and their efforts to address violence against women and human rights. Now, I praise your initiatives here. It's essential. I would merely ask if you have also envisaged the possibility of cross-training in the Juan Mendez principles as regards the interrogations or questioning of people that have been charged with crimes. That might be very useful when it comes to avoiding human rights violations in an intelligent and manner that is respectful of human rights. Certain questioning, interrogation can incorporate these principles. That's the case in law enforcement. That's the case in the armed forces. It could be useful to avoid human rights abuses. Now, lastly, Colonel Amar Alberto Ramos from the National Institute for Prisons has referred to numerous visits, numerous initiatives along these lines. However, he has not referred to a matter that I mentioned, which is the June 2023 death of 46 women in the National Women's Penitentiary for Social Adaptation. We do know that the International Human Rights Commission condemned this, and we know that there's a requirement that Honduras take measures to ensure the life and safety of women that are in the custody of authorities, ensuring at the same time the non-repetition of similar events. I would like to know whether you have taken up such measures, and have they had an impact that you could report on at this point? I thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Gomez. We'll now hear from Mr. Jaiba. Mr. Jaiba, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I, in turn, would also like to thank